This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, this story, I mentioned this briefly yesterday. I just want to recap it very quickly. This mother came to the United States from Guatemala, where she had been raped by a member of the Guatemalan military that was, quote, protecting the town she lived in. She was one of a number of women in this town who were routinely being raped by these soldiers. She fled to the United States with her three-year-old child, her daughter. She reached the U.S. border and went to an official border entry point, a legal crossing point, as our law specifies a person is supposed to do if they're seeking asylum. And as international law says, but U.S. law says this, she applied for asylum there. Her application was accepted, as it has, you know, it doesn't always have to be, but and then they took her child away from her and for 8.5 weeks refused to tell her where her daughter was. She later learned that her daughter had been taken to a place called the Hacienda del Sol. It was shut down because the staffers were routinely engaging in child abuse, actually abusing the children. She was, during that period of time, about 8 weeks into this, she was allowed a phone call with her daughter. Literally every day she had been begging, "Where is my daughter?" And finally, after 8 weeks, they gave her a phone call, and when her daughter started crying 2 minutes into the call, the social worker cut the line. That was it. 2 weeks later, she was reunited with her daughter through the efforts of some good lawyers. And, you know, her asylum claim is being processed. This was all done, you know, illegally, essentially, by the Trump administration. You know, tearing children from their parents. That's not part of the law. That the only time that before Trump, the only time in history that has ever been done is when, for example, during the Obama administration, when they thought that the person who was representing themselves as a parent was not actually the parent, that they might be trafficking the child or that they were explicitly abusive. This little girl now, when she's asked questions, gives one-word answers. She's afraid to go outside. She cannot go outside with her mother. She starts screaming and shrieking. She cannot fall asleep unless her mother is holding her, not just in the same room. Holding her. The minute mom lets go of her, this little girl wakes up and starts screaming. This is what your tax dollars are paying for. This is what Donald Trump is so proud of. On the line with us is Julio Rivera, the editorial director at Reactionary Times, columnist at Newsmax, American thinker, and townhall.com, reactionarytimes.com. His Twitter handle, oh yeah, it's Julio. Julio, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
So, in my opinion, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and perhaps Kristen Nielsen, the head of DHS, should be arrested and prosecuted for kidnapping and child abuse. What say you?
Okay, first off, to this little narrative framing that you're doing, Tom, trying to make it seem like this is a
This
new
is
phenomenon.
One of probably 3,000 stories, Julio.
This goes back to every president, vice president, and the administration from Bill Clinton in 1997 on.
No,
this is
no, Julio, I'm sorry. I can't let you just lie on the air like that. Julio, that is not true. Look it up.
It is the Flores consent decree, which went ahead and allowed for, I think you had, listen, I'm not going to deny.
The only reason legally the children could be separated from their parents was if there was a suspicion of abuse or human trafficking. Donald Trump changed that, and John Kelly went on national television and said, the reason we're changing this policy, the reason we're tormenting these children is to discourage parents from showing up at our border with kids.
Well, you know what? That's not the worst idea in the world. I mean, and I'm not saying that we should be holding the kids accountable and punish the children. That's an unfortunate byproduct of a broken system.
This is not a broken system. This is a crime.
No, what we need to do, and this speaks to the larger problem, we need to build that wall. We need to enforce our immigration laws domestically.
This is not about immigration. This is about refugee status.
At the end of the day, you're pointing out, you know, one story, and it is an unfortunate story, but when you have thousands, literally thousands of children, There's no way that the United States, we're not, you know, we don't have the infrastructure to support bringing in all these illegals.
That's why you leave them with their parents, Julio.
Unfortunately.
That's why you leave them with their parents. I mean, you got children's prisons now that are being built.
Because it's not our problem, Tom. That's what you fail to see. You know, if we didn't have, you know, these our open border policies and sanctuary cities and all these things, if we were sanctioning the people who hire these people and create opportunities for them, paying them under the table, and if we hit them so hard that they would have no economic opportunities, they wouldn't come here. And guess what, Tom? Then it wouldn't be our problem.
Julio, you would still have, that's an immigration argument, and thank you for echoing my point. But this, I'm not talking about immigration here. The majority, we have had net negative immigration from the United States over the last 10 years with regard to Mexico. We've got, the majority of people who are overstaying their visas, who are coming into this country legally and ending up being here illegally, and in many cases working, are Canadians. The majority, not Mexicans. Mexicans have been leaving this country and going back to Mexico. But what this is, well, let me just finish this sentence and then you can react. What this is refugees. Ronald Reagan committed treason by conspiring with Iran to sell them weapons in exchange for their holding hostages to make Jimmy Carter look like a fool to win an election. After that happened, he took that money and he used it to buy weapons to support right-wing governments down in Central America, in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Elliot Abrams was right in the middle of this war criminal Elliot Abrams, who Bob Barr, the guy that was just made Attorney General, recommended George Herbert Walker Bush pardon, which he did. And that ruined those countries. Those countries are absolute messes now because of U.S. policy, and their people are coming here as refugees.
Well, listen, Tom, that's another debate, but the whole thing as far as refugees seeking asylum, there's a lot of people that are coming in right now making that claim that are not truly refugees. So we have to really take a deep look into each one of their cases.
I agree. That's why we need more judges. That's why we need more officers investigating these situations. People should have, there should be due process. If somebody comes, with their child and says, "I'm a refugee. The police were raping me. My child was threatened," there should be due process. Trump has dialed back on that. He has not spent the $1 billion that Congress appropriated 2 years ago for this kind of thing. He has not spent that money. He has dialed back on that, and instead he's saying he wants his trophy wall.
It's not a trophy wall. The wall would prevent all these problems going forward.
This woman did not illegally cross the border, Julio. She presented herself at a port of entry in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. You're using this one case. But this
the vast majority of these children who have been separated came to legal ports of entry.
I understand, but not all of them. Not all of them. This isn't what the bigger problem is, that right now we have to go ahead and say, and you're right, listen, these refugee cases, yes, we need more judges, we need more people looking at these. There's some people that have suffered some horrific atrocities at the hands of some shady government and, illegal, crime, organized crime figures within their country, and it's horrible. The human trafficking, all of it has to end. But the best path to do that is to go ahead and say, put up that wall and say, listen, America is closed. For right now, it's closed. And if you come into a legal port of entry, yes, then we'll go ahead and review your asylum application.
And steal your child?
And if you have a legitimate claim, you'll get it.
And steal your child?
We have too much. We have too much
going on. And steal your child?
What was that?
And steal your child?
Not steal your child. If we
so you're agreeing with me that Donald Trump and Mike Pence should be in jail for child abuse and kidnapping.
And we hold the children for no longer than 20 days, which we have the legal right to keep the parents separated from the children for up to 20 days, I believe, under the Flores consent decree, while these things are going on.
That was only in cases where you suspect child trafficking, Julio, number one. And number two, even one day of separation for a three-year-old can destroy the rest of their lives.
That's debatable, but yes, it is horrible. It's horrible. But I don't think that you can put that on the Trump administration. The way that you're trying to frame this is that,
John Kelly came out and bragged about this. Kristen Nielsen testified before Congress. This is a deterrence policy. This is a brand new thing in the history of the United States. We are going to tear families apart and put children in children's prisons where they're not allowed to be touched. Their parents can't talk to them.
I have a question for you, Tom. When this caravan was coming up, and let me finish this before you cut me off. When this caravan was coming up, and a lot of people were saying that they wanted asylum from whatever Central American country they were coming from, Mexico offered them asylum, and they didn't take it. So at the end of the day, some of the personal responsibility has to fall on the parents as well.
About three quarters of the people who came up in the last so-called caravan, this group of a little over 1,000 people who came up through Mexico that Donald Trump was hysterical about. Let's say it was 2,000, just before the election. Let's say it was 10,000. More than 70% of them stayed in Mexico. They have not come to the U.S. border.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should have all stayed in Mexico.
Well, that day may come, but this is a mess that we created. That war criminal Elliot Abrams and the war criminals Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. put this thing together, and now you've got Mike Pence and Donald Trump, and I think these guys should be arrested for kidnapping and child abuse.
How are left-wing governments doing in South America right now? How's Venezuela working out for you? How's democratic socialism working?
Julio, I am not a Venezuelan. I'm an American, and I'm concerned about what is being done in my country, and I'm concerned about the fact that Mike Pence and Donald Trump are engaging in kidnapping and child abuse and proud of it, and they've got people defending them for that.
Listen, there's going to be unfortunate cases like the case that you keep referencing. That's like, I'm sure that's like the needle in the haystack. That's not the majority across the board.
So you think the vast majority of children who are torn apart from their parents for months at a time are just fine with it?
Sure, that these kids are not being trafficked in for child abuse, for sexual abuse, for all the horrible things, the atrocities that these poor people face. We have to make sure that at the very least, the one thing we can guarantee them with while they were in U.S. custody was that child was not being raped.
Well, no, we can't guarantee them that because that's why they shut down the center where this woman's child was taken, because they were abusing the children.
They were not abusing the children.
They absolutely were. It was shut down. Look it up. It's called Hacienda del Sol in Arizona. You can Google it. Anyhow, Julio Rivera, reactionarytimes.com, his Twitter handle. Oh, yeah, it's Julio. Hang on just a second, Julio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Julio, thanks for coming on and talking with me. I appreciate it.
I always love coming on. Have a great day, Tom.
Thanks. You too, Julio. Bye-bye. We'll be back. Whew. And welcome back. Alex in Edison, New Jersey. Hey, Alex, what's on your mind today? Thanks for watching us on YouTube.
Hi, Tom. It's immigration. So one word that's not in the debate is permanent damage. That is what we're doing to these children.
Yes. And I would argue to their parents as well, although the children are much more vulnerable.
But there's a big picture aspect, too. How, when our trade negotiators talk to China, or better yet, Europe, this stuff comes into play. Our reputation is being hurt. And I don't know what's worse. I mean, there's different, it's hard to measure one or the other to compare, but I don't really care to, this impacts my patriotism, knowing that my tax dollars go to inflict permanent damage. The government has psychologists, they know that, but they don't care. Well, at least one party. Anyway, that's your comments, and I'll take it off.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Alex, thank you very much. I get how heartfelt you are about this, and I share it. I don't know what to say. Actually, I do. In terms of patriotism and in terms of our ability to negotiate with other people, this, I believe, is one of the major reasons why when Mike Pence was in Europe, and he said, "I bring you greetings from President Donald Trump." And then he waited for the applause. Literally not one person clapped. And Ivanka Trump was in the audience. She didn't even clap. Although I think that's because she was shocked. Amanda in Trinidad, Colorado. Hey, Amanda, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's up?
I just want to reiterate on this is just ridiculous. How can you call a state of emergency? And there are people, you know, we have to look at the actual human beings. Everyone that came here to the United States were immigrants. And not letting immigrants into the country, especially people in dire stress. And now, this is not a president. He is a businessman. All he wants is to make his plot for the border wall true. Yeah, but it's ridiculous, and he should have people who told him that this is ridiculous. But we have a rogue president of the United States of America, who is basically a kindergartner running around with laws.
Yeah. Yeah, being advised by people like, you know, white supremacist Stephen Miller. Amanda, thank you. I get your concern as well. It's 22 minutes, excuse me, past the hour. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you and John in West Chicago, Illinois. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi. I'm talking about we don't need a wall, and one thing. And second thing, why they don't give a visa when they come in a border? Somebody, if they go to embassy, they're not giving a visa. Anybody in the Muslim country, in the Mexican, anywhere.
Yeah.
And why the people not coming? And the people have a difficulty. The every government, the who's not puppy with the American government, they make a trouble for them. They always keep making trouble. They're greedy. And second thing I want to say, Senate is destroying. Mitch McConnell destroying the Senate. And they need you guys need to talk about him. He's a dangerous for country, and he's destroying the Senate. And
yeah.
John,
I'm not sure if I heard an obscenity in there or not, but I think probably not. But I'm going to cut you off in any case. And yeah, I agree that Mitch McConnell is a problem. No, it's passed. You know, this is what we got to deal with, right? This is what we got to deal with. Stephanie in Hopkins Park, Illinois. Hey, Stephanie, what's up?
Hey, Tom, we fought that immigration detention center in out of the town. Our town has 900 people. We forget when you're dealing with Donald Trump, follow the money.
Yeah.
And the money that his people are going to make after him. These for-profit prison people come to small towns like mine who are poor and promise them $1 million to $2 million a year.
Yeah.
If they keep the beds full. Now, they first tried it on the wharf for drugs, and they couldn't get enough people to fill the prison. So now they're doing it on immigration, and they're filling these prisons with these people. This is not about immigration. This is about the profit for the prison business.
I agree with you.
And
I agree with you, Steph.
When are we going to learn whatever Donald Trump does? Follow the money.
Right.
See who's going to profit from it. Then
yep.
We'll see where the motivation comes from.
And there's two giant prison corporations, multi-billion-dollar corporations, that are getting these contracts. They're being paid $600, $700, $800, in some cases $900 a day to take care of, and I put that in quotes, to imprison, basically, to put in cages little tiny children who have been torn from their parents as a way of discouraging refugees, for God's sake, from coming to the United States. And yes, they build them in communities where you have terrible economic distress, and they use that as the way of getting people to be supportive of it. It is obscene. Stephanie, thank you very much for the call. I am of the opinion that there should be charges brought against Pence and Trump for kidnapping and child abuse. What say you?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I mean, this has gone way beyond just like something politically wrong. This is not even just a moral crime. This is a legal crime. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Just a heads up, an economy heads up. CNBC is reporting that U.S. home sales fell in January to their lowest level in more than 3 years. Now, this might be a blip because, you know, interest rates have been going up, which drives down home sales. And I believe it was in January that the Fed essentially reversed that policy, but it may not have filtered through. Or this could be a leading indicator of a recession that's coming. So anyhow, just FYI. Scott in Missoula, Montana. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom, I wanted to see if you could riff on the subject of how these people on the right are able to dehumanize people to the point where even children who were evolutionarily programmed to care for mattered not to them at all. And I don't know, maybe you've got some insight into that.
Well, I think, in defense of Julio, I think that he's probably really struggling with this one. I mean, you know, his politics, we strongly disagree politically, but he's a decent person. He had to go back to Puerto Rico to take care of, I think it was his mother or his grandmother who was, badly injured during the hurricane. And I think that there's probably a lot of people who are Trump defenders who are, kind of torn up and twisted inside about this issue. But for Trump and for Stephen Miller, the guys who are spearheading these policies, and Mike Pence, who in 2000 wrote an op-ed about how tobacco doesn't cause cancer because they were spiffing him, these people, I think, probably are more fall into the spectrum of sociopathy. They have no conscience, and they have no ability to actually identify with other people, and or a very limited one. And I think that that's what's going on. And I think that what has happened is that the right has become the home for sociopaths. And I think that the number of sociopaths, you know, the psychologists tell us that the number of sociopaths in society is around 2 or 3%, but that the number of sociopaths in prison is around 40%. And the number of sociopaths in senior positions in large corporations is as high as 25%. And so, it shouldn't surprise us that we have sociopaths who have risen to these high levels, because that, you know, brazenness is one of the aspects of sociopathy, and it's also one of the aspects of leadership and of success in climbing the ladder, as it were, being willing to step on others to get there. So I think all this stuff is just all tied together, Scott. I don't think there's like one simple thing that you can point to, but when you look at the rise of the Nazi movement, I mentioned that nightatthegarden.com website. It's really worth checking out. When you look at the history of this, I think what you see is that it's like there are places where sociopaths can go to feel like they have their own community, essentially. And then, you know, on top of that, of course, you've got people who are simply fearful. They've been, you know, the fear has been ginned up in them by sociopaths who are TV hosts on Fox so-called news or on right-wing hate radio. Or people who are not even sociopaths, they're just opportunists. They're just, you know, they're making their millions and doing their thing. So I hope that makes sense, Scott. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it just seems like in at least in rural America where I live, there's a lot higher percentage of them that think like that than would be accounted for in the number of psychopaths.
Yeah.
In our society.
I think some of that too is just this sense of dissociation. You know, in rural areas, the Death of the Bowling League was a book that I think a guy named Robert Draper wrote back in the late 90s or early 2000s, and he's British, but it was a story about how in Great Britain and the United States, largely since the Reagan-Thatcher administrations, our institutions have been dissolving, just breaking up. You know, the Elks, the Moose, the social clubs that we used to have. You know, the book clubs, the reading circles. The people just haven't done this. And you know, whether it's caused by television and cable TV, or whether it's caused by the internet, or whether it's caused, I think frankly, it's caused by Reaganism causing economic distress and people having to work two and three jobs. But whatever the cause is, it's worse, that sense of disconnect from your neighbors and friends and a lack of places where you can become community, you know, basically outside of churches, is worse in rural areas than it is in urban areas. Scott, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Elena in Los Angeles, listed on KPFK. Hey, Elena, what's up?
Hi. I am just, every time I listen to this man, I just have to pull over on the side of the road. He's a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
A Puerto Rican. He keeps forgetting that outside, when he is in the group, how he is actually looked at.
You know, Elena, Julio's not here to defend himself. I think it's real unfair to you know, be picking on him, frankly.
Well, you know, it's just that I listen every time that he calls. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do see that he's struggling with the children being separated from the parents.
Yes.
And you listen when he is trying to rationalize this horrible, horrible thing that is being done. Yeah. That has been done.
Which says to me that you know, there's a lot of humanity in Julio, that he's not just one of these sociopaths, but that he, you know, his gig is to be this, you know, right-wing guy and commentator, and I think in most cases he really believes it, and I think we're pushing up against the edges of what he can deal with. But again, I'm very uncomfortable discussing somebody who's not here to defend himself.
No. But again, it just has to do with the, you know, what people are not realizing, and I'm sure that some doctors are taking a look at, 20 years from now, these children have been totally messed up.
Yeah.
What do you think? And I'm not saying all, but there's one of them is going to really flip.
Yeah, you're gonna see a very small percentage of them go crazy in ways that are destructive to other people. You know, you're gonna see violence and spousal abuse and things like that. A much larger percentage of them are gonna experience severe depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. and suicide.
Yeah,
those are going to be the major outcomes of what's going on.
Given time, this is going to come back and bite us.
Yeah,
real
yeah.
big.
Yeah,
anyway,
I absolutely agree.
So
Elena, thank you
so
for the call. Thank you very much, David in Mamaroneck, New York. Hey, David, what's up?
Hi. Good afternoon. I just wanted, you know, whenever I hear about this stuff, and when I first came out last year about children being in cages, my maternal grandfather escaped Nazi Germany in 1936, mm-hmm. and I've heard very few Jews have the visceral reaction that I've had towards this, and my mother's had this. And I don't know why American Jews aren't speaking out about this. And well, I suspect many are ashamed that Israel isn't speaking out about this.
Well, I, you know, it's,
I don't hear that many American Jews speak. Maybe there are, but
yeah, I'm not hearing. I mean. Yeah. Okay, David. I'm going to stop that conversation because every now and then somebody comes on and they start talking about Jews or Israel, and then it very quickly devolves into basically anti-Semitic rants. And I will have no part in that. That's not going to happen on this program. Angel in San Gabriel, California. Hey, and I'm not saying that that's what this guy was trying to do, the last caller, but you know, I don't even want to dance near the edge of it. Angel in San Gabriel, California. What's up, Angel?
Hey, Tom, good morning. I have two comments to make. One is the immigration problem. It can get fixed. It's easy to fix. Just our president, I don't think he really wants to do it. The first thing he has to do is the good people who are not criminals, they should get a work permit. Otherwise, if he deports everybody, the whole country is going to collapse. Now, after that, he needs to find the companies who hire people who with no papers. The first time, the second time, put them out of business.
I agree.
Then when we need more visas, then send more visas to all the countries so people come to work legally. That's number. That's the thing.
Yeah, Trump had 15 people working for him in Bedminster at his golf club for, in some cases, as much as 18 years, knowing that they were not in this country legally. And Trump is the guy who is, you know, screaming about this stuff. If you want to start putting rich white employers who are hiring people undocumented in this country, and again, that's a separate issue from asylum seekers, but if you want to do that, let's start by putting either Donald Trump or the people who made the decisions, probably his son or his daughter or somebody, or whoever's running his golf club, put them in jail. Amen. Angel, thank you for the call. James in Mineola, Texas. Hey, James.
I just don't understand. You guys have this vigor and stuff for the immigrants, right, that are coming over, illegal immigrants that are coming over. But when Kamala Harris talked about putting parents in jail for their kids not going to school, it was okay. And the same, y'all don't put that same vigor and stuff in for kids who are being aborted. I just make me understand.
James, we're talking about actual people here who are living human beings, and this has absolutely nothing to do with abortion. Nice try, but, you know, ain't going to work. Lee in Beverly Hills, listening on KPFK. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Oh, hello. That's me. I must say, I adore your program, absolutely adore it. It is medicine for the soul and mind, and I wish you could get it into absolutely every household. I think the only way to do that is for people to keep making contributions so you can expand.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing what you do.
You're welcome. What was your point, though?
On the wall.
Yeah.
I had to acknowledge you first and foremost.
I thank you for that.
On the wall. I have noticed that Trump positively adores dictators, and that is obviously because he is one of them, the dictator-in-chief, who happens to be occupying the White House.
Yep.
And it is dreadfully unfortunate, but in the United States of America, I don't think he would be able to get away with building one of those humongous statues, such as in North Korea and throughout many other parts of the world in the previous Soviet Union. And therefore, it appears to me his substitute is this wall with plaques of him and his name all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is his substitute for the adulation that he absolutely wants from his followers. And he seems to be almost psychotically, I'm sorry, I have to take the word almost out of there because it doesn't even apply, psychotically addicted to getting people to have undying, unflinching, unconscious loyalty to him.
Yeah.
And if they do not, then he plays his reality TV show and fires them. Fired.
And then tries to destroy them and their families and everybody around them. Lee, what you just said was profound, and it gave me this huge aha that, you know, yes, you know, Stalin had statues to Stalin all over the country. Mao had statues to Mao all over the country. Kim Jong-un has statues to Kim all over the country. And Trump can't quite do that here in the United States. I mean, that's what the Reagan Legacy Project did, build a statue to Ronald Reagan in every single congressional district in the United States. But that was after Reagan, you know, was no longer president. And Reagan didn't do that. The billionaires who funded him did that. So Trump can't build statues to himself, and he can't wait. In fact, he may not live long enough to see the statues, just like Ronald Reagan didn't live long enough to see all the statues being built to himself. So the statue that he's trying to build to himself right now is this wall. That is profound. Lee, thank you so much for that. Thanks for the call, and thanks for your kind words. Thank you for listening to KPFK. We'll be back. It's 46 minutes and change past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars, having hopefully rational conversations and debates, and teaching us all how to talk back to the other side. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's 47 minutes past the hour and the place where smart people get their news. And welcome back. Deb, watching us on Sling TV. I'm assuming that's the Free Speech TV app on Sling in Ancona, Anika, Minnesota. Am I saying that right? Deb?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Tom.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Welcome from the frozen north.
Thank you.
I was shocked at the vigor that guy made his arguments with. I'm ashamed to be part of the same human race that can spout that kind of hate.
Well, let's not personalize this to Julio. There is,
I'm not personalizing
this is a policy
it to Julio. I'm,
of our government I'm, right now.
I'm talking about the policy and the lines that were. It's the rhetoric.
Yeah.
That keeps being used.
Yeah.
I don't fault him. I don't know him. But it's the policy that they defend, and they keep defending it.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking and saddening.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And by the way, I think it's criminal. And this is why I was not being facetious when I said that I thought that people should be held accountable for this. This is kidnapping and child abuse. These are crimes. They may not be federal crimes, but they are certainly state crimes. And I would like to see some state attorney generals try to prosecute some of these Trump administration officials and the people who are engaged in these practices, because this is illegal. They're court ordered. That the Trump administration reunite these, you know, several thousand children with their families, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, longer than that, however long ago it was, and they're still apparently they will acknowledge several hundred, but apparently it's several thousand children where they have no friggin' idea where they are because they weren't keeping track. They were simply ripping them from their parents and sending them off to whatever private prison would take the money.
I'll tell you what, where I live, they hunt those people down vigorously. You cannot escape.
What do you mean?
And I live in the Midwest, and child abusers and people that abuse children, it is not tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And as you say, these people are guilty of that in the highest echelons.
Yeah, this should be an international scandal. That this is the official policy of the United States is to destroy the psychic lives, the future lives of children in exchange for the votes of white supremacists, essentially, is what it is. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Trump would not be doing this if these were white Europeans. He would not be doing this if this was families who came over from Norway and overstayed their visas. And by the way, there are families who came over from Norway and overstayed their visas. And probably not so many from Norway, but a lot of them from Ireland, a lot of them from Spain. And Trump is not going after them because their skin is not as dark as the people who are coming in from south of the border.
Absolutely not. Thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for giving me time to air my grievances. I'm still so exercised over the thought process behind that. I can barely stand it.
Yeah, me too. Deb, thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you. And we'll be right back. It's 51 minutes past the hour, 9 minutes before the hour, here on the Tom Hartman Program, the place where despair is not an option. No, we're all about getting active and doing things. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to and watching our program. Over at patreon.com/TomHartman and for our subscribers over on YouTube, we have a new video up about how this is wild. Two white supremacist groups were holding a rally, right? And you were able to kill them both? Great. We're back on the air. Colleen in Manorville, New York. Hey, Colleen, what's up?
Oh, hi. Yes, and I'm not attacking Jose because...
Julio.
Julio.
Yeah.
Julio, I'm sorry. And but three of my grandparents were not born in the United States. Now, when my Irish grandparents came over, they had to leave two of their children in Ireland because they didn't have the money to pay to book passage.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over and had... And it was many years before my uncle's got back here, got over and reunited with the family. And I wonder if they weren't Irish, if they didn't speak English, if they weren't the right color, would they have been allowed in the country?
Yeah.
And the reason that my grandparents came here was because there was no food and no work because of English policies. And I'm not picking on the English that are currently there.
No, but those English policies actually were, at least in the 1840s, were genocidal to the Irish.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And so many millions of people did die.
Yes.
And my grandmother was like, I have two kids I can't feed now. So she got on a boat, and my grandfather followed her because he didn't want to, you know, leave her alone. But it was when my uncles did come over and my dad was born here, it was almost like a fractured family. And to this day, the legacy of not uniting that family is with us. Mm-hmm. And my Italian family came over because they had such devastation over there from World War II. And so they were allowed to come over because of that kind of situation. And I wonder if they weren't, like, white enough, you know. And you just look at the situation and you say, why is it that skin color, are you less human? And why is it that my family had to be divided, like my Irish family, like it was? It really brings out this lack of humanity that I still see in the policies of immigration today.
Yeah.
And it's devastating to families. I've seen it in my own family, and it wasn't even as horrific as what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. And it's poison. I mean, my two of my four grandparents were born in Norway, not in the United States. And Norway didn't experience the kind of oppression that Ireland did, but, you know, they came over here anyway. And I get what you're talking about, absolutely. And it's like, and they were white. They had no problem coming through Ellis Island in 1917.
How do you justify saying that because somebody's melatonin in their skin is a different ratio than yours, that makes them less human?
Yep.
And it's just crushing, and it's going to really impact our country for many, many, many years.
Oh, it has for 400 years already, and this is what we have to reconcile. This is the challenge of our time. Colleen, thank you for identifying that, putting your finger on that. Lisa in Niles, Ohio. Hey, Lisa, what's up?
Hi, Tom. You just hit my point in the last 5 seconds. You know, we started with the Indians genocide, then we enslaved the Africans, and then what Reagan did in Central America, and also what we did in the Middle East with our, you know, trying to make their government what we thought it should be. It ended up coming back to us. Now we're doing it to the so-called Mexicans or Central Americans.
Yeah.
America,
and in the middle of there was Vietnam. I mean, and the one thing that was the common denominator in all those cases was we were not going to war against white people. And in fact, it took us being bombed at Pearl Harbor by the Japanese for us to go to war with white people in Europe. I mean,
though, we're getting faster at learning our mistakes, I believe.
I hope so.
Thank goodness, that's what I got to think. We're seeing this now with the children, and there's many of us, and hopefully a lot of white people this time too, that are seeing it right now.
And waking up.
We can't keep letting this be a part of our shameful history.
Yeah.
You can't let it happen.
No, and this is part of, I mean, this is the daily life of people of color in this country and always has been, and Native Americans, and you know, and they know this well. And it is incumbent on all of us who are white to be sharing that story with our neighbors and friends. I'm sorry, what did you say, Lisa?
As white people, we need to look at it. What if that was me or my child? Because we don't have that same life experience. And we can't see it in that way, so we have to intentionally put our mind there.
Yes, it's like intentional empathy, and this is a challenge. I mean, this is a challenge for America. I mean, obviously, at the individual level too, particularly for people who have always lived in a white bubble, it's a challenge. But this is a challenge for all of us right now. Thanks a lot for the call, Lisa. It's great to hear from you. Dr. Richard Wolf is going to be up next. We're going to be discussing the crisis in Venezuela, the economic aspects of it, what's really going on. So stick around. It's coming up on the top of the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.